many years ago now, when I was in England, I went to the Keswick Convention. And in those days, they ran from London to Keswick, they ran a special train for people going to the convention. And I went with a married couple. And we had a marvellous week, and on the Saturday morning, we were returning home. And we had booked a taxi to come and take us to the station. Well, it got very close to the time for the train to go, and the taxi hadn't arrived, and I was getting rather agitated. I'm always telling people not to trust the... not to worry, just trust the Lord. It's amazing how you do, though, isn't it? And I was getting quite agitated, and then at last the car pulled up in front of the house, so we rushed out, and I said to Harold, the man and the married couple, I said, come on, he's a bit slow on his pins. I said, come on, Harold, get everything down there. And I said to Dorothy, come on, his wife, come on, Dorothy, you get in. And when I got down to that, some people call me Bossy Boots. I'm not. I'm rather a shy person, really. I know you don't believe me, but you wait and see. Anyway, when we got down to the taxi, I was a little bit annoyed to see that it was such a small car. The three people and all our luggage. Anyway, we got in, and then the lovely man who was driving us, he didn't even know the way to the railway station. But, of course, Bossy Boots knew. And by the time we got to the station, it was really nearly time for the train to go. And so I said to Harold, come on, Harold, get the luggage out. I said to Dorothy, she was a bit slow too. I said, come on, Dorothy, you get on to the station, I'll pay him. And the man said, I'm not a taxi, you know. He's come to visit somebody next door. I said, why didn't you say so? He said, I didn't get a chance. And God in his marvellous love for us, has spoken to us so wonderfully and so clearly through his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet so many of us don't give him a chance. We have a marvellous weekend. We have a wonderful opportunity. Every individual woman here, we have a wonderful opportunity to hear God. And I would say to you girls, make an opportunity to get alone. Now, it might be a bit difficult with 190 or however many women it is roaming around, but try and make an opportunity to get alone with God and think over what you're hearing. Think over the lovely songs that we've sung tonight. Think over what you're going to hear tomorrow and let God speak to you. Perhaps some of you thought, when you saw the book, you thought, Jonah? Oh dear. What can we get out of Jonah? That makes me think of another story. Don't worry, I've got my eye on the clock. We'll all be in bed by midnight. That's okay. Going to a committee meeting with two other women. And we were to go to somebody's home. And the woman to whose home we were going said, I won't be there, but I'll leave the front door open. You just go in, make yourself a cup of tea or coffee, and have your morning tea, but I'll be a little bit late. So he said, okay. And in we went, and we were a bit surprised. There was nothing ready for us. No tea or coffee or anything, but we rooted around, and we got some mugs, and we found a lovely tin of cookies, and we sat ourselves down, and we were having a lovely time, and the door opened, and the woman came in. My dears, we were in the wrong house. We should have been in the house next door. We were sitting there. We were very happy. We were having a lovely time. What we didn't realise was, of course, we were sitting in the wrong house. And there are a lot of Christian women who were sitting in the wrong room. because they don't realise the wonder and the glory of this book. They haven't got a clue about the fact that the whole book is written for us. A lovely young woman came up to me a few weeks ago and said, "Oh, Jean," she said, "I don't bother with the Old Testament. There's so much in the New." There's so much in the New, but you'll never understand it if you don't read the Old. And I hope that if you're sitting in the wrong room and you thought, "Oh, Jonah, what will we get out of Jonah?" I hope you're going to get into the right room this weekend and realise the wonder of this book. And he gave us the whole Bible. Wasn't God wonderful that he thought it up? I always think of the Lord Jesus when he was here. He used the scriptures, you know. I mean, he didn't use the New Testament, of course. But you remember when Satan came? Jesus didn't say, "Oh, quick, let's have a seminar on how to cope with Satan." It is written, it is written, it is written. And Jesus knew the scriptures. And if you read the Gospels carefully, you will see all through the scriptures, through the New Testament, Jesus used the scriptures. And I reckon, I mean, I don't think theologically they might agree with me, I don't know. But I reckon that when the Lord Jesus got back to heaven and met up with his Father, he said to his Father, "Look, when I was down there, the book was very useful." We must give them a book. And because God the Father's love for us is so great, and his understanding of us is so great, he gave us this wonderful book. And as we go to look at this little book of Jonah, I'm not going to tell you about Jonah tonight. Gloria and I have got that all tied up for tomorrow. But what I want to do tonight, I want you to see that you're going to have a ball. It's both Gloria and I have been absolutely thrilled. That's right, isn't it? About what we've got out of it. And we're going to look at it. Actually, we're going to look at it under four headings. We're going to see, and it's God. God who loves us. God who is interested in us. God who cares for me. God who's brought me here so that he can speak to me. And we're going to see that God can see everything. God can save anywhere. God can forgive anything. And God cares for everyone. Let me read those four again. It's a bit late at night to take it in, but get it. God can see everything. God can save anywhere. God can forgive anything. And God cares for anyone. This little book, we shall see, this little book of Jonah, it's only four chapters. And so, instead of going for your, whatever the walker's called, tomorrow morning, you might be able to read the four chapters through. It's very brief. And very interesting and almost unbelievable. But if you could read the four chapters before the session starts tomorrow, that would be terrific. And we shall see that every kind of distaste, of joy, of disobedience, of trouble, of tragedy, anything you can think of is coped within the book of Jonah. So there isn't a woman here who's going to go away the same as she came. Because here in this little book, God's going to speak to us, if we are listening. Because sometimes he says things, as he said to Jonah, of course, he says things we don't like. If you really want to get the best out of this study, there are four things you really need to do. First of all, you need to admit to the truth of the Bible. You need to realise that this is God's word. Secondly, you need to obey what God says to you. Now, when God speaks to you through the sessions tomorrow, whatever the session is, whether it's Gloria or me, or whether it's in the electives or in the singing or what have you, when God speaks to you, girls, obey it. No matter what it costs, obey it. The third thing is, take notes. Now, you're getting it all on a cassette if you want it, and that's lovely. But I would say, if you've got a pencil with you when you're sitting there, if anything hits you, write it down. Because if you're anything like me, I get so taken up with what the speaker's saying that what she said in the beginning I've quite forgotten by the time she's got to the end. And it may be that something hits you, write it down. And then the last thing, share it with someone. When we're talking around tomorrow, don't let's be talking about our grandchildren. I mean, I haven't got any, but I mean, I know our grandchildren are lovely, and I know our husbands are lovely, and I know our homes are lovely, and I know we've had a lovely holiday. And one thing that really got me when I've travelled overseas to Fiji and PNG and Jamaica. At conventions, between the meetings, they're not talking about that sort of thing. They're talking about Jesus. And let's try, don't worry, I'll talk to you about your grandchildren if you want me to. And now I probably will all go dumb when I'm around. But try and talk about what you're listening to. Try and share it with someone else. And when it's over, take it home and share it. Either write it or telephone it but share it. Somebody once said that the story of Jonah is the most beautiful story ever written in so small a compass. It is. It's a beautiful story. Now, there are lots of questions asked about Jonah. Is it history? Is it an imaginative allegory? Was he a real man? Was he a real person? Was he really swallowed by a fish? I thought, cool. I guess that fish really needed some Rennies. I mean, swallow a whole man. Did this one man really turn a whole city to repentance? Girls, no one can doubt he was a real person. He's mentioned in 2 Kings, and Jesus himself speaks about him in Matthew 12. And we see that it could happen, because there are lots of descriptions of people who've been swallowed. Well, not lots, but 2 or 3. I had a lovely description. I had a lovely description, and I've forgotten to bring it over. I'll bring it tomorrow. Where a man was actually swallowed by a whale. He was a Galilean, of course. He began his prophetic ministry as Elijah finished his. And one of his prophecies is found in 2 Kings. And he's really a lovely type of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall see. What really gets me about him is this. God had his man at the right time. He wasn't much good. He was disobedient. I mean, who would have chosen Jonah? I would have chosen somebody who loved the people of Nineveh and who wanted to go to Nineveh. But God didn't choose. God's not like us. He doesn't think like us. And we're going to see, it's really quite exciting to see how God deals with one individual man. And we shall see over and over again that God speaks personally. I would have found that very difficult to swallow. You think of the billions and billions of people on the world. God speak to me. But you see, Jesus knew that we would wonder if it's possible for God to speak to one person. And so he gave us those lovely words. Every sparrow that falls to the ground. Now you find sparrows everywhere. Actually, you don't find them in Western Australia. Did you know that? I was speaking in Western Australia, and I said, of course, you find sparrows everywhere, and a woman shakes that. They don't hesitate. A woman shakes that. You don't find them over here. Well, I said, you find them almost everywhere. Everywhere you go in the world, you find sparrows. And Jesus, our lovely Lord Jesus, dared to say, my Father knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. Girls, if he knows every sparrow that falls to the ground, he knows you. And he's brought you here today because he wants to speak to you. So ask him to prepare your heart so that as you listen, you will hear. And we shall see that God speaks personally. We shall see, oh wonderful comforting thought, we shall see he always has his eye upon us. We shall see that he never lets us wallow in self-pity, failure and rebellion. We shall see that, and it's marvellous, you know what we shall see? We shall see he uses everything in our lives, even our failures, for his glory. He can save and transform a whole pagan city. He can transform a self-centered prophet. And what do you know? He can transform you and me. Bask in the wonder of it as you go to bed tonight, that God has given us this little book so that we might be blessed. God chose Jonah, anti-Nineveh, not wanting to do a bit what God wanted him to do. But God knew his Jonah. God knows everyone here. Many years ago when I was in Nepal, I was walking out on the hills. It's a beautiful day. And we sat down, there were three of us, we sat down to have a cup of tea on the sort of pathway. We had a flask. And we sat down and I happened to glance down and in the sort of cleft of the rock there was a little bunch of gentians, blue gentians. Blue gentians are flowers that you find wherever there are real mountains. And I picked one of those gentians. And I put it on my hand, and I looked at it. It was absolutely exquisite. Deep blue, and it looked as though someone had taken a pencil and drawn little yellow lines on it. It was really beautiful. But you know, girls, I looked at that and I thought, well, what's it doing here? What's the good of it? Nobody ever sees it. It's not important to anybody. I wonder if you ever feel like that. Who am I? What's the good of my life? And then as I looked at it, I saw something I've never forgotten. It's made for the Father. Made for the Father to enjoy. Doesn't matter whether anybody sees me or not. It doesn't matter whether I'm important or not. My life with the Lord Jesus Christ in me is to bring joy to the Father's heart. As we look at the life of this man Jonah, we shall see how God has a purpose for one individual man. And our hearts will be warm because we will begin to realize that he has an important person for every woman here.